What is up, my party people? If you're hearing the sound of my voice, that's right. That means it's your favorite cousin. Your favorite cousin you didn't even know you needed? Lady Painted 90 on TikTok. Also, Lady Painted underscore MUA on the gram. Give yourselves a round of applause. And you are tuning in to the Ask Your Cousin podcast, okay? Of course, you guys know if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you're listening onto one of the beautiful platforms as Spotify, Amazon Music, or Apple Podcasts. Thank you for joining me today. Now, the subject that I want to talk about is a really tricky subject for a lot of people, and including myself. It's been tricky for me for years because to understand what it means to me, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I know you're like, ugh, like all the hairs on the back of your neck just stood up right then and there. Because forgiveness is a tricky subject. It goes down to who do you forgive? What is forgivable? Or really, what does forgiveness mean to you? And I wanted to talk about this because a lot of times we will encounter certain things in our lives that will trigger us. And it doesn't mean that the person that has triggered you did it intentionally, because they may not even know the things that are triggers for you from, you know, past trauma, childhood trauma, whatever the trauma derives from, right? So let's give it a prime example. Let's say that you are dating a person and something that they've done, even though it was, you know, like I say, no harm intended when they did it, it triggered you and it's immediately you're thrown back into a situation of a tumultuously toxic relationship that you remember just from them saying this one simple word or doing this one action or whatever it may be. Because even sometimes something that is actually done in a loving way could actually still trigger us from something that was very harmful, even senses of smells, just different things in general. And so I really realized this is going to be the gem that you guys are going to take from this episode. Forgiveness is for you. It is not for them. And the reason why it is so important for you to forgive those that have caused you harm, that way they no longer have control over your life. Mm-hmm. When you allow a person to continue to be able to their memory of the situation, allow them to have control over your life. That means no matter where you go, you are always carrying that person that harmed you with you. Think about what I'm saying. Really dissect that for a second. When you allow yourself to become a victim to somebody else's circumstances, and not necessarily somebody else's circumstances, but what they intentionally put off onto you, right? And when you choose not to move forward from that situation and it is always attached to you, you will always have them with you, even when you don't want to. Let's go back to the scenario that I painted out, right? So you're in a healthy, loving relationship, or you could be away from family members that were toxic, right? But then now you're around a group of friends and somebody says something and it triggers you. True enough, everybody has their triggers, but how they respond to those triggers lets you know where you're at in your life. If you hear something that's still reminiscent of something that's connected to it badly, but then you think to yourself and you're like, you know what? I got past that. That means that you have moved forward in a positive light. But if you sit up there and you get triggered by something that somebody has done that reminds you of someone else, and then you go off the handle, you're just like, why would you do that? Why did I, like, you know what I'm saying, like that? And you just get all up in arms, then it still has control over you. And see, that's the reason why I think forgiveness is so powerful, because some people, when they do the messed up things that they do intentionally, they want to be able to have that power over you. They want you to know that this moment in your life that was supposed to be a special moment, a happy occasion, a good memory, they want to associate themselves to something so badly to you, to hurt you so badly, that every time you think of, I don't know, a Dr. Pepper, you'll just think, ah, like this person. Or every time you think about your one particular birthday at this particular restaurant, it'll never be the same for you again, right? And that is the difference between allowing yourself to acknowledge and realize what happened and then moving on. I'm going to give you guys a prime example. I'm going to talk about my own personal life, right? So for many, many years, many years, okay, I have had a very toxic relationship with my mother, right? Now, of course, she was the only parent that I ever had, the only person that, you know, stuck around and raised us and everything else. Kudos to being an adult, okay? Here's my thing, and this is a sidebar. You don't get a medal for doing what you're supposed to do. I want people to understand that, okay? If you have kids, don't make them feel like that they're obligated to you because you chose to have kids. Like that was your choice. That wasn't theirs. And that goes to anybody. Because people be like, oh, kids are so ungrateful. Kids are so this. Now, in some situations, kids are a little bit, if you, you know, give them everything and don't have them work for it or earn it. Yeah, some kids will be like that. But I'm talking about kids that are literally just challenging life. And some of you guys will literally be ready to chin check them so quick just because they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're questioning life. Because here's my thing that I don't think people think about when it comes down to the mindset of a child. If you tell a child that, hey, make sure you, if you have a stranger come up to you or this, that, and the third, make sure you ask these questions or this, that, and the third, and so you don't go off with a stranger, right? Well, you say that, but then in the same sentence, you tell them if an adult tells you to do something, you do it, right? Do you see how contradictory that is to a child's mind? You just told me, don't do this. If a stranger says, don't do this. But then if an adult tells me to do something, I'm supposed to do it because it goes hand in hand. Anyway, I'm getting all off the subject. ADHD is real. Okay, so no, let me give you guys a good example of stuff that I've had to conquer in my life, just trying to figure out, one, who I am, where I fit in this big ass hunk of rock, and also trying to understand how to navigate with people through my own trauma that I've dealt with in my childhood, right? So my mother, being a very proud person that she is, okay, she's a narcissist. Now, is she diagnosed? No. I gave her that diagnosis when I started to do a little bit more research in psychology back when I went to school back in 2019. Didn't finish, of course, you know how that goes. Pandemic, you know, shit got real, right. Well, some of the things that I started to notice once I actually started to better understand what I was dealing with, it made me feel a little less crazy. So for anybody listening to this right now, you're going to be like, bitch, that shit makes sense. Because I'm telling you, when you are dealing with a narcissist, you will feel fucking crazy. If you're watching this right now on YouTube, I'm about to blow your mind. Narcissists that are associated to you by family, they will literally create an unhealthy attachment to you, but it's an attachment that's not suitable for you or for them, right? Or you'll notice a lot of times that if there is a narcissist in the family, they're not a direct parent. They may be a cousin or an uncle or an aunt. A lot of times for a lot of women, it's normally like a girl cousin. It's a female aunt, or it's the mother, or even a sibling, right? A female sibling. And so normally what happens, there is this unbeknownst competition that you didn't even know you were in. Yeah. For some reason, for some narcissists that are related, narcissistic lovers are completely a different tangent, but narcissistic family members, for some reason, create a unbeknownst competition that has you've never even think that you're competing. You know what I'm saying? You're in a competition that you don't even know you're a part of. Mind-boggling, right? Right. So literally after I started paying attention to things and I actually had my awakening, as I like to call it, because it's crazy when you have gone in blindly for so many years about a situation and you think it's you. You think that you're all these things that they told you were ungrateful and, you know, mean and evil and all this stuff. All the things that my mom used to say about me, right? I used to think that they were true because I was like, why would a person that gave birth to me and loved me say these things if they weren't true? Because in your mind, this is the person that is supposed to protect you. This is the person that's supposed to nurture you. This is the person supposed to care for you and pour into you. And here's the problem. When you have a parent that is emotionally unintelligent for their own, and here's the crazy part. Narcissistic people are usually very intelligent. Usually, in most cases, they're very intelligent. People that are manipulative usually have to be very smart in order to know what they're manipulating. So that's another thing in itself. Normally, they're very charismatic. They can literally read a room. They can float across a room and everybody just loves them because of the fact that they're so charismatic, they're so intelligent, they're, you know, so cunning and everything else. They know all the answers and all that jazz. And so that's how they got you looped in, right? Right. And that's in some situations how I've ended up in some of the relationships I was in. Because the thing was, I just traded my mother's behavior for a way that a guy, you know, treated me. And what was so crazy, this was, you know, just now that I'm sitting here thinking about this, my mom would be like, I just don't know why you even date some of them and da 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 this. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, you've never really given me a proper example of what love, being loved feels like. So it's like, I'm just going for what I know. It's like, you talk down bad about me. You talk about the way I look and the dress and my ideals and everything else. So of course I would end up with somebody that's going to do the same thing or doesn't properly support me and my dreams and all that stuff. I'm just dating my mom, just in guys' bodies. And that's when I had to realize that, okay, whoa, I had to sit down and ask myself the genuine question. Do I know what a good man is? And what is that for me? Because everybody's definition of what being in a good, healthy relationship is going to look like. I don't believe in relationship goals. Your goals for your relationship are your goals. It doesn't have to be a goal that's across the board. But what I'm getting back to, back in the grand scheme of the conversation, is that when I started to realize what I was dealing with when it came to my mother, I had to tell myself, you know what? I can sit up here and play victim all day, because I was a victim to her outrage, her outburst, her angst, and all these different things that would take place. And then I had to tell myself, I'm like, okay, how much longer am I going to be a victim? Because just because you got a bad guy in a story, you being a victim forever doesn't make it any better either. So you're antagonizing the situation. And so I had to realize, I was like, you know what? I need to get off this goddamn bus, because it's not going anywhere. We're just going in circles. I'm on a fucking merry-go-round. And I had to forgive her in order for my life to truly begin. Because here's the part that I want you to understand. When you continue to hold on to that angst, that anger, that animosity, all those different things that can trigger you, nothing will ever be your fault. And I had to realize that. Like, I was never taking accountability for some of my actions or my lack of actions or being afraid to do certain things or, you know, being able to do exactly what I'm doing with you guys right now, being very vulnerable and being very open, because sometimes my vulnerability was used against me. And so I had to create a mechanism of survival mode. And so that survival mode bled over into my personal life outside of me having to learn how to deal with my own family. But then it bled over into personal life with relationships with people I was supposed to be friends with, because of the fact that I was thinking this was the best way for me to cope, was doing it like this. And I realize now, as I've gotten older, it's not. And of course, at the end of the day, that's why the forgiveness is important, because forgiveness allows you to no longer carry that situation with you everywhere you go. When you are still tangled up in a situation that happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you're still that same age. You physically, people see you as 29, 30, 36, 55, 65, whatever it is, but mentally you're still frozen in time in that moment that has changed your life forever. So every decision that you've made going forward has been changed. Every relationship that you've had with people, it's completely different. The relationships that you have within yourself, because I want people to understand, there's nothing wrong with talking to yourself. You got to, in order to be able to do a podcast, baby. What do you mean? Okay. Hey, but what I want people to understand is that when you are in a space where your mentality is so enthralled with you being the victim that everybody does you wrong, there's no accountability for your own actions whenever you've hurt somebody else because you've been hurt. That goes the saying, hurt people hurt people. And that's because of the fact those people that originally hurt, they're still holding somebody else accountable for the hurt that they've actually gotten in the first situation. So then every time they go into the next situation and they may hurt somebody because they're not vulnerable, they're not available, they're detached, whatever the case might be, it's because this person did this to me all these years ago. That's the reason why I am the way I am. Do you see how unhealthy that is? And do you see how toxic that is? I know we use that word. It's a running word. It's been the last running word for the last 3 or 4 years. I get it. But in reality, there's no other better definition that you can put for it. Being a victim for too long is toxic as hell. I want you to understand this. Whoever is listening to this right now, whoever is watching this right now, you will never see the fruits of your labor if you never put in the work to begin with. And what I mean by that is being a victim is just basically sitting on your ass and wanting people to feel sorry for you and hoping that things will escalate and change just because of the fact that enough people have felt sorry for you. I'm not victim blaming anybody. I want you to understand me clearly. When you have been a victim long enough and you're tired of the way and the direction that your life has gone, you will get up one day and you'll say to yourself that I deserve more than what I've given myself. Because when you allow yourself to always be a victim, you're giving yourself less than what you already deserve because you're waiting on somebody else to give you the rest. And a lot of times you're waiting on that apology. You're waiting on that I'm sorry. You're waiting on that I shouldn't have done this because you're such a, you know, better person. You're waiting on somebody to validate something that you can do yourself. It's the truth. And as hard as it may seem, as difficult as it can be, because it's hard to give yourself that closure. See, here's the thing, right? People a lot of times think that forgiveness has to come from the other individual that hurt you, because people thrive on the idea of closure. I want you to understand something. You may never, ever, ever, let me get real close, ever receive that closure that you truly and honestly deserve. And what I mean by that is you may never get that apology, especially if you're dealing with somebody, like I say again, that either is narcissistic behavior or they lack emotional intelligence. You may never see that apology. So you're telling me that you're going to stay in that realm of, you know, heartbreak hotels, you know what I'm saying? Certified lover boy action. You're going to stay in that realm just because you're waiting on somebody else to meet you where you need to be at. It'll never happen. I'm here to tell you that do not put your life on pause. Do not be frozen in time waiting on somebody to give you a justified apology. Give that apology to yourself. And I know you're like, give it to myself. I didn't hurt myself. Take accountability for how you got there. We can't control what other people choose to do to us, but we can control how we got there. And in some situations, I've now being 33 years old, I have learned and took a lot of L's to learn that I had to hold myself accountable for my own actions and how I got there. You know, and it's so easy. Like I say again, being a victim is easy work. Being a survivor is the hard work. And I don't tell every time that people want to try to feel sorry for me or whatever, I'm like, no. I didn't tell you that story for you to feel sorry for me. I told you that story so you can learn from my mistakes, because I've made mistakes too. Just like you made mistakes, they gonna make mistakes and they gonna make mistakes. Everybody is making mistakes. Okay. Nobody's walking on this earth perfect. Thank God for that. Because perfectionism is an idea. It is nothing to strive for. Food for thought. Had to take a delicious sip of my coffee. But it's the truth of the matter. And that's the reason why we live in an imperfect world, because there are no perfect people. But the thing is, though, just because a person is not perfect does not mean that they can't be accountable. And that is the thing that forgiveness will literally leave you in your tracks, because you want to move on. Deep down inside, you want to move on. You want to move past it. You want to move forward with your life. You want to go forward because you see everybody else going forward, right? But the thing is, you need to understand that the only way that you can move forward is if you choose to do so. Nobody else can do that for you. Nobody else can give you the answers. Nobody else can tell you how to do it. You just have to be willing to do it on your own. And realistically, it's hard as hell. I'm not going to tell you that it's easy. It's not. There's nothing easy about it. But the thing about it is, it's rewarding once it's done. When you get off that couch in your mind, I want you to picture this right now, that the place that you're at in your mind right now, you're just sitting on a couch. There's nothing but static on a TV. And you keep looking at the same reruns playing over and over again. It's your life. That same exact moment that got you stuck on that couch to begin with. In your mind, that couch is a safe haven. There are no doors. There are no windows. So can't nobody get in, but also can't nothing get out. So I want you to realize that you got to turn the TV off. But the only way you can do that is you got to get up. And what's going to happen when you get up, that safe haven of the couch that you have placed inside your mind is going to go away. Because you know what? You made the first steps to moving forward and taking accountability for your life. I know that was a little deep moment right there, wasn't it? Yeah, I know. You felt that. You felt that euphoric of a moment. And you're just like, you know what? If I can do this, if I can envision this, if I can picture all these things, I can picture a different life for me. And that's the first step. People ask me all the time, right? Because, you know, motivational speaker, you know, and all that stuff like that. Woo woo, you know. People ask me all the time, they're like, how did you get so wise? You're so young. How did you get so wise? I am, first of all, I'm an Aquarius. That's enough said right there. I'm kidding. But no, I am an Aquarius, though, for real. But no, the reason why is because I have ADHD, for one. And number two, because I didn't know that I had ADHD as a kid, I was always a nerd. I was always wanting to retain some type. I soaked up information like a sponge. And so because of the fact that I never wanted to be in a box, I wanted to know this, I wanted to know that, I wanted to know this. And that became my reasoning for understanding people and myself, was just through my vast wanting to know things. And with that being said, this is why I know what I know, to be able to tell you what I know, because I've lived it and I've done it and I've had to deal with it. And the thing is, I'm not telling you to do nothing no different than I've had to do myself. I'm telling you, I've had to do the grunt work and it paid off. My life is not perfect. No, it's not. It's definitely not. There's still so many things that I wish that I could have differently go on in my life. I mean, who doesn't need a few more dollars? You know what I'm saying? Like, hello. But at the grand scheme of things, I'm still so proud of what I've been able to accomplish, given so many things that I had pulling me back, and including myself. And that's why I'm telling you this. And that's what I need you to know, that don't forgive them because you feel like you're doing them a favor. Do yourself a favor. Forgive them so you can be set free. You deserve to know what it feels like to fly. Because when you continue to hold on to a dead situation, as in you can't go back, you can't undo it, you can't change it. You can go back there and visit in the past as many times as you want to, but it won't change the outcome of what happened. You're grounded. You got an imaginary ball and chain on you that is keeping you to the ground. And I'm here to let you know, in case nobody told you, you deserve to know what the sky feels like. You don't always have to be on the ground. And so with that being said, my fellow people, I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. It's been truly a pleasure to be able to talk to you guys and hopefully, you know, see me now. Also as well, you guys, if you did not know, I am recording now episodes of the podcast and actually visually recording them so you can see me and work through it with me on YouTube as well. So you can find me at Lady Painting 90 on YouTube, and make sure you find your girl there with this episode also. And I'm going to pop in here too, where you guys can send your questions or your stories, because, you know, I'm still waiting on them. The last one was a good one. It was a good little doozy-do. But of course, make sure you send in your, you know, your emails to the askyourcousin@gmail.com. Cousin is spelled with two Z's, C-U-Z-Z-I-N. Okay. But with that being said, I want to leave you guys with my positive mantra. In case nobody told you today, you are loved. Okay. I'm telling you, I love you. All right. Most importantly as well, you are capable of love. So the first person your ass best be loving is you. And honey, most importantly as well, the last thing for sure to take with you, you're more powerful than you know. So give yourself a little credit. Be nice to yourself today. Okay. That's all I'm asking. Be kind. All right. But until next time, you guys, again, you've been tuning in to the Ask Your Cousin podcast. Make sure you find your girl on TikTok at LadyPainted90. Also, you can find me at the gram at LadyPainted_MUA. Till next time, in your signing ears, signing out, y'all.